Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to episode 1916. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. You're John Jacob Schmidt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. That's the point. That's what matters, right? The things that are happening in the world that we're concerned about, we all see this. You're not alone. And I'm with you. And I thank you guys for being with me. This is episode 1916, which means it's the 16th episode of 2019. And I want to wish you all a happy Resurrection Day. This is the day we celebrate that our King is risen. There was a few of us that sat down and did a Bible study this morning, didn't go to church this week, but sat down and just had a really cool Bible study and started it off, of course, in prayer. And then we talked about, and then we opened it up to the Founders Bible from Wall Builders. And they actually have a story, a piece in there about the resurrection of Christ and how that influenced America's founding fathers' views toward death and specifically hope. And it's a reminder that we're only temporal. We need to make it count why we're here. And then, it was just really a blessing. And then after that, we read about the resurrection of Christ, you know, the last chapter of Acts. No, not Acts, Luke. And it was just a really cool day. I got to spend some time together with some really awesome folks that mean a lot to me. And so that was great. But this is going to be a really different episode. There are several things going on. And of course, if you guys, I know many of you by now have listened to, or some of you have listened to last Thursday's episode of Patriot Radio, Matt Shea's show on ACN. And I sat in for him as a guest host. And I specifically did that to intercede on his behalf because he was tied up in session. He needed somebody to cover for a show or just re-air a previous show, but it was timely. This was done prayerfully by a whole team of prayer warriors, just amazing, godly people. And so I'm going to, what we are going to do now is I want to, just let you know what we're going to do. I am going to re-air that in its entirety nonstop. Okay, this is going to be a separate segment without, you know, any of our normal sponsors and so on. This is just going to be a standalone episode. But I wanted to preface it before I re-air that show because the focus of it was a Guardian tabloid hit piece against Representative Matt Shea that we knew was going to be coming. So we got basically a tip off that this hit piece was coming and I knew what it was about. So I addressed that on Matt's show on Thursday. Since then, the article came out and of course it is a propaganda piece. In my opinion, it came out in the Guardian this week and we knew it would be a hit piece, and it was just as misleading as we expected it would be. With the intended specific goal of attacking and hurting a Christian patriot leader who's come under fire repeatedly from the left, that's Representative Matt Shea. So I want to just read to you the beginning of this article from The Guardian. It's a real piece. But when I say it's misleading, one of the many, many ways it's misleading, it starts off saying it in this article. Well, it says that this Republican planned violence with other right-wing patriot leaders, implying myself and three others, one of which turned out to be a traitor, actually has betrayed the patriot movement. And this came time through multiple counselors and prayer teams about how to handle this. It became extremely clear that this individual needed to be, because it's not their first offense, of putting things out that was intended to cause harm. Now that we can say that conclusively, I concluded, and well, all of us concluded, this individual now has what? How do I say this? It is now evident to us. It is clear that now with the second one, knowing the results of the first piece, the hit piece that came out against Representative Matt Shea, that the intent was to cause harm, including physical harm. And of course, we can easily, articulate that. The first time a piece came out which grossly misled a document that Representative Matt Shea, supposedly leaked out and mislabeled as his manifesto, which created an uproar and the result of death threats against Representative Matt Shea, plus threats against his family, his wife, his parents, and very descriptive threats of what they were going to do to his family members as a result of this piece of misinformation that was leaked out by someone who used to be a patriot. We don't normally call out patriots when they make blunders and do dumb things, but this has resulted in death threats against a known leader. I'm talking more about that in the segment that I'm going to re-air for you. But in this article, it says the chats on the messaging app Signal took place in the days leading up to a supposed Antifa revolt. Just going to give you a little taste of how this leftist propagandist, in my opinion, writes. The chats on the messaging app Signal took place in the days leading up to a supposed Antifa revolt on 4 November 2017. Now, this supposed Antifa revolt, we all know, because we were tracking all of their social media, this was not supposed. This was planned. They had schedules with people to sign up from cities all across the United States. And they were boasting how many thousands they had, right? So this wasn't supposed. This was something they openly declared they were going to do. And we saw them taking action steps toward the planning process for actually carrying that out. We saw movement based on their social media. So the article goes on to say, throughout late October, far-right media outlets had been stoking fears of political conflict on the basis of planned peaceful protests by a small leftist group. So Antifa says, we are going to take to the streets, we're going to burn stuff down, and we're going to break stuff. And this is following several demonstrations where we've seen them hurt people, specifically seek people out to harm. And this writer of this piece, it's a real piece, says that we are stoking fears on the basis of planned peaceful protests. He calls Antifa protests on the 4th of November planned peaceful protests by a small leftist group. A small leftist group, which happens to just be nationwide, and a small leftist group made up of thousands and thousands of people in multiple cities, that they were going to carry out carnage. And we were tracking this and greatly concerned by this. So this is how dishonest this writer is. He said, the men proposed to confront leftists whom they repeatedly referred to as communists and Antifa, which they are, and probably should have thrown in socialists too, with a suite of tactics, including violence. Oh my gosh, you can't respond to violence with violence. That just That wouldn't be very good, would it? Especially if you call yourself a Christian. Well, even that is a very misleading. So, all right, let me move on here. The New American, if you're not really sure, you need to brush up on it. The New American in September of 2017 had a great expose on the Democrat leadership not only refused to condemn Antifa through its violent group that supports outright communism, they have excused its behavior, and it is an expose on Antifa. I want to share with you part of a Washington Times article. It says, when radicals descend into violence, the Justice Department must get tough with the black-clad rioters. And this is written by Sean Steele, also in 2017. Months, this was in March, so months before their November 4th night of rage was actually even really known much about. So he says about the civil war among America's left, saying that it has begun. He said it's not a split on ideology, but tactics. You need to understand who these people are that we were responding to back in 2017. For a half a century, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals has been the manual for left-wing activism. As a community organizer, the previous president, who will not be named, implemented Alinsky's call for purposeful agitation with perfection. Hillary Clinton, who Media Matters David Brock dubbed as Alinsky's daughter, wrote her thesis on his legacy. And to the militant left, her defeat signaled the need for a new set of tactics. Now, one Antifa terrorist engaged in violence at the University of California, Berkeley, told The Guardian, the rule book has been thrown out. Talk about what? What's that? Saul Alinsky's rule book? Antifa, short for anti-fascism, the broad term for the new militant left, includes socialists, anarchists, and anti-capitalists united by their street fighting tactics and zeal for violence. What they accused the conservatives of. BBC News compares them to white nationalists, but says Antifa's tactics are arguably more extreme. On online community Reddit, a headline of the Antifa section reads, every dead Republican is a step toward progress. That's this, you know, this small, peaceful group, right? Every dead Republican is a step toward progress. One common Antifa tactic, Black Bloc, involves launching mob violence against people and property while dressed in black hoodies and ski masks. Their all-black uniforms serve as a dual purpose, to intimidate their victims and to hide their identities. The battle plan was executed flawlessly at the recent riots at UC Berkeley. So, apparently the police sergeant at Berkeley said this was a group of agitators who were masked up, throwing rocks, commercial-grade fireworks, and Molotov cocktails at officers. The physical violence may have been directed at police officers, but the mob of Antifa terrorists that violently attacked the UC Berkeley Martin Luther King Jr. Student Union earlier this year were as much declaring war on the ideology of the man for whom the building is named and its citizens. America's left was sending a message: violence is the answer. So this comes, and I covered this, I remember covering this. Yvette Filarka, a leader of the Antifa terrorist organization, said this: our side is growing and also prepared to be more politically militant and support more militant struggle. Those are communist, that's communist terminology. By any means necessary is the name of the organization. So she told this to Al Jazeera. If the movement continues building as large and as powerfully in this direction, we can defeat Trump in his entire racist agenda and get him out without waiting for the next election. By any means necessary, the most often means violence against anyone who isn't radical enough. How extreme is Antifa? Even members of the International Socialist Organization condemn their violence. So, there's the foundation, part one. Now, when we saw this unfold, you in the listening audience, me, my friends, people, my family, we were enraged by the videos that we saw of radical leftists beating, running down, chasing, and beating women, punching them out, old men, and innocent people just because they were found walking down the street with Trump hats. They were screaming with their fists in the air openly, F the police, death to cops, death to Republicans, punch a Nazi, kill Trump supporters. That's the kind of rhetoric that led to the murder of police officers ambushed in their police cars while they're eating lunch. These communist, radical, leftist revolutionaries on the streets of America have used cable locks to beat people, clubs, and other all kinds of other instruments to attack or threaten to attack and to intimidate people simply because they speak up or demonstrate or support for traditional American ideals or conservative values and our Christian heritage. And we were all incensed. We were angered by this. Just the open, brazen calls for organizing for the purpose of hurting people or to intimidate them into backing down from communist and socialist revolutionaries so they could advance their agenda. This angered me so much. It angered you. Now, in response, I know a lot of words were flying out there. I try to be very careful about the words that I choose. Now, I'm not an inherently violent person. I believe there's a time to fight and a time to stand up against a bully. But, and those who know me know that, I'm just not by nature a violent person. But when all that was happening, in a moment of anger over seeing innocent people hurt by communist socialist thugs, there was a private chat group with four of us that were in it. These are four trusted friends where we felt free to vent. And by the way, this chat was given to The Guardian by a traitor from among the ranks of patriots. One of the four trusted friends that many of us have placed a great deal of trust in has been on an agenda to try to harm Matt Shea for we don't know why. I can only speculate. And by the way, I never gave The Guardian permission to use any of my statements in that private conversation. Now, in that, I said some crass, unchristian-like things about what I would like to see happen to these communist revolutionaries, especially their leaders. In a moment of anger, I spoke openly and freely in a private conversation with trusted friends. Now, a few of us discussed Antifa, Indivisible, other groups, tactics of intimidation, like doxing, like conservatives putting out their conservatives' homes and workplaces and their parents and other family members, including their children, including their daycare. This is the kind of stuff that the leftists were doing. And we're just incensed by this. So we're venting. These, like, tongue-in-cheek, lots of sarcasm thrown in, too, about our sentiments about communist leftists, which, when being really ticked off at communist revolutionaries, I don't know when that ever became a bad thing. But when you're backed into a corner, when someone's backed into a corner by threats of violence that these groups have even said they plan to bring to our own communities, we're sitting there going, how would they like it if we did that to them? So our conversations essentially mimicked what the radical left group said they were going to do, and we had a tables turned discussion about that. So this was venting among a group of trusted friends in a private discussion. By no means were we trying to establish any kind of a policy or planning process for carrying out any operations or violence or anything like that. We were just venting. But this traitorous individual turned the conversation over with the intent of harming Representative Matt Shea. I mean, this is no different than what people say when they're sitting around the campfire, when you hear stories about ISIS, going into a village and rounding up all the women and sexually violating them and cutting everybody's heads off, you know, and they say they want to bring that to America. Well, you can imagine the things that are said by Americans sitting around the campfire with a bunch of their buddies that they trust. And they don't think, no, what if you did that? What if you had that conversation? And what if one of your friends among that group sitting around the campfire recorded it and sent it to a left-wing rag and then presented it as, look what these guys are planning to carry out. Violence against Muslims, right? Completely misleading and also a massive violation of trust. Now, like I said, in a moment of anger, I said some things that are unchristian-like. They were crass and, you know, crude, cruel treatment toward communists. And some people, oh, I can't believe you said that. Someone even said, you guys just need to be careful about, you know, you need to watch your tongues, hold your tongues and not say things. I'm like, hold on. You're telling me you don't say certain things around your friends in private when you think this is a private conversation? You didn't think that you were going to be betrayed? Well, R.C. Sproul is a pastor. He did a really cool article, and one thing jumped out at me, and he says, the common bumper sticker, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven, makes a salient point. The watching world affirms that what makes Christians so reprehensible is our hypocrisy. They see us sin while believing that we believe that we don't sin, and they hate us for it. I'm not perfect, and I sometimes, occasionally, and I'm pretty good about self-control. I'm not a cusser. I don't call for violence and things like that. But there have been times and I was really just pissed. And I vented around people that I trusted. So now they're trying to say this is this conversation where they're planning to do carry out evil. And Representative Matt Shea was involved in it. Now, that's the other misleading part of the article. And this is was. It's clearly designed to be a hit piece, which, thank God, the Patriots have been rallying around. They see through this, and they're not buying it. They're not buying it. They're like, oh, no, this I'm from The Guardian, really? Not even who reads it? The leftists. So they're getting all riled up. But it could lead to additional threats against Representative Matt Shea, or me, for that matter, because things were misrepresented. So there's something that this was not, they were not honest about this part. Representative Matt Shea was added later in the conversation to this signal by the traitorous, trusted Patriot. He was added later in the conversation. Now, the Signal app, I don't know if you know this, when you add somebody to a conversation or a little chat that you set up and you add other people to it, they cannot see what was said prior to them joining. So while we're talking about smashing communists and doing all this stuff to them, and then Matt Shea gets brought into it, he didn't denounce it because he wasn't even aware of the chit-chat that was going on between us before this was added. The main thing that Representative Matt Shea was more concerned with was surveillance on who these people are that are calling for violence, saying, we want the Spokane chapter to sign up. We're going to be hitting the streets too. And Representative Matt Shea says, I want to know who these people are and everything that we can know about them because it's a threat to our culture. They said this is a threat to your society, to your community. So I got some questions. How about the journalist who wrote this piece? Will you denounce the open violent rhetoric openly, not private conversations, but openly spoken calls for violence and killing Republicans and the violence that's carried out by these radical leftist groups? Will you denounce it? Will you run a piece denouncing the violence that actually is being carried out and planned for real by the left? How about the Spokesman Review? Are you going to jump all over this? Or are you, I challenge you to denounce the violence that's being planned, openly, called for, and carried out by these leftist groups. How about Sean Vestal? You're always looking for a reason to attack Matt Shea. Will you denounce the open violent rhetoric and the violence carried out by the radical leftist groups? Probably not, because of your ties to known communists. But see, you won't denounce these people. You'll take, and you know, President Trump said a very astute thing. He said, they're lucky that we're largely a peaceful people. Talking about the left. And he's right. We are peaceful. Because we don't take things we're just fuming about and vent in private and turn them into operational plans and actually carry those things out that we'd like to see happen. But you know, you keep pushing and pushing and pushing. It's not going to be three guys talking about what they would like to see happen to communists. It's going to be hundreds or thousands and tens of thousands of people that have had enough and know the truth and won't swallow the lies, and they're going to stand against you. And you talk about, you're going to see violence that has not even been thought of or planned yet, and I will have no influence over it. They're going to come up with it all on their own when they decide they've been kicked by bullies long enough and it's time to fight back. So just stick that in your feather, or stick that feather in your cap. There we go. How's that? So anyway, I want to turn this over. I just wish you guys a blessed, really blessed week. And one of the questions that this journalist asked me, he says, you opened up a speech last year, 2017, saying you think that every patriot should have an AR-15 and 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Do you still stand by that statement? And I said, yes, I do. Well, I got thinking about that since. I'm like, no, I need to retract that statement. I don't think you should have 1,000 rounds of ammo. I think you should have 2,000 rounds of ammo for every AR-15 that you have. And if you only have one, you should go buy another one to give to another patriot who might not have one. When these communist revolutionaries actually come through and start carrying out violence, because you have the right to defend your country, your heritage, your family, and your communities and your very lives. These guys have promised violence. They have carried out violence. And we have not carried out violence. We vented about what we'd like to do. And they take that and, oh, look what these guys said. What you should be worried about is what's not being said. What's formulating in the hearts of Christian conservative patriots across the country, watching the landscape melt before them and seeing that communist and socialist revolutionary radicals, what they're doing, how bold they're becoming, that's what you should really be afraid of. Not me. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Thursday's show of Patriot Radio, sitting in for Matt Shea. God bless. Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, to Patriot Radio. This is John Jacob Schmidt sitting in for Representative Matt Shea. Or actually, on this show, he's just Matt Shea. But Representative Matt Shea is fighting for you right now. They're running late into the sessions, and it is an amazing battle that is taking place in your capital. Well, if you're living in Liberty State, Olympia was your capital. We haven't established a new one for Liberty State yet, so they're still fighting for liberty, fighting for your rights over there right now. So he's asked me to sit in, and it is a great privilege to sit here in the seat of Patriot Radio, carrying on the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the news behind the news and the story behind the story, and that is exactly what we are going to do today. There is a story behind the story, and there is news behind the news. So I'm going to take this opportunity to set some things straight and advocate for a great friend of mine who is worthy of all of our prayers and our support. And he has it. I'm talking about Representative Matt Shea. I'm going to talk about him at length, and then I'm going to be talking about something that I'm dreading, because there is a problem in the ranks. And it cannot be ignored any longer. So I think it's appropriate that I'm the one that has to talk about this, although I do not want to. But if you are new to, if you've not been listening to Patriot Radio for a while, I am John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Redoubt, advancing the movement, the strategic relocation or the political migration movement to the conservative Inland Pacific Northwest states of Liberty, Eastern Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. And we're seeing that happen. It is just really exciting to see an already conservative region just strengthening even more so. So that's what I do at Radio Free Redoubt. I often co-host with Matt, and it's always an honor and a pleasure. We just both spoke last week at the Northwest Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Liberty, and that was also a privilege. At Radio Free Redoubt, what I usually do is start off saying, you know, we're here to, as the voice of the American Redoubt, advancing the cause of freedom and the spirit of liberty. The spirit of liberty. And that brings us to 2 Corinthians 17. Now, the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I also usually go on to say that we're here to shed the light of truth on the lies, to inform you, encourage you, inspire you, and motivate you to action in the fight to preserve liberty and our heritage. And we always want to promote self-resilience or resiliency and self-reliance. Right now, we're broadcasting on the American Christian Network, which is kind of, I guess, well, I'm going to just affix the label, the unofficial Liberty State radio network, because we're covering all of Liberty State and plus a little bit into North Idaho. Thank you guys for listening, listeners in Oregon. But essentially, ACN covers Liberty State. That's pretty exciting. Almost all of it. So thank you guys for listening also on our live streaming. If you're outside the wire in occupied territory, you can tune in that way. But there's another way that I don't know if this gets put out there very often, but I'm going to say it anyway. You can call in. If you have limited bandwidth or for some reason you can't make a connection to listen to the live stream, you can also always call in to the live listening number, and I'll give you that number here in just a second if you want to write that down. I'll give you a chance to grab a notepad, pen, and a paper. As you're getting that, I want to lead in with a couple of scriptures. One in particular, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Or in the Berean Study Bible, it says, therefore, encourage and build one another up, or to edify one another, just as you are already doing. And so that's what I want to focus on today, is building someone up. We're also going to expose some things that are not comfortable for us, but sometimes the things that need to be done are not comfortable. Here's the number to call in. It's area code 605-477-4336. I'll say again, area code 605-477-4336. You know, they also have the sister network, Liberty Broadcasting Service. And, you know, there's AM and FM stations and live streaming happening over there. And that's where Radio Free Redoubt is right now on Saturday mornings. So to listen to Liberty Broadcasting, you press number 2 star 2 to switch. And to go back to ACN, the American Christian Network, press *1. Anyway, a little tidbit there. Another way for you to listen to ACN and the great programming that takes place over here. And thanks to those folks for doing such a great job keeping this network alive. And thank you for supporting them. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That's what I want to do today. I want to focus the first part of the program doing that. I want to build up a friend of mine. Now, before I go any further, I'm not getting a pay raise. I'm not getting promoted. I'm doing this because there is a friend, a mutual friend of yours and mine that needs our help right now. This is the time for us to gather around and strengthen someone who's actually been a source of strength for many of us and encouragement. So I want to start off by wishing Matt Shea happy birthday. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to say it. Happy birthday to you, Matt. I know you get a chance to listen to this. Hopefully you'll be able to have a set of earbuds in and listening while you're in session when you get a little bit of downtime. But I want to talk about Matt Shea, who you're normally your host of Patriot Radio, normally broadcasting from the capital of Free Washington in Spokane Valley. But today he's over in deeply held enemy territory, fighting for us. Matt has a long history of service to his country. He has a distinguished military record as a combat veteran, as an army officer, having commanded soldiers in Bosnia and Iraq. And even now, he's fighting. He's serving his country, and he's serving his community, and he's serving this state, and he's fighting for you and the families in Washington State right now. And he's worked late nights. We've been texting and talking, and he is, the Lord is strengthening him, and it's really encouraging. But boy, you have no idea what's happening there. And there's not another hardworking statesman. And that is the difference between Representative Matt Shea and most others who are politicians. He is a statesman. He's fighting for liberty all the time. Just last night, running in a session late in Olympia, fighting for our Second Amendment rights. This is what he texts to me. A group of other Christian men, Christian leaders that you know, we support one another, pray for one another, and just keep each other aware of breaking news and things that we need to be aware of, within our state and with our communities. He says, guys, by the grace of God and hard-nosed politics, we just removed the ability of the governor to confiscate firearms during an emergency, and his staff committed not to veto it. They had to do some major political judo last night to get it to this point. But did you guys know that they had a bill that was about ready to pass that would have given the governor of Washington State authorization to confiscate firearms during an emergency? Did you know that? So you don't even know what's going on behind the scenes. And they fought it. They fought it last night, and they were able to remove that portion of this bill. He's been fighting these vaccine mandate bills. It looks like there's going to be some victories there. He has fought for privacy issues. He was the only legislator brave enough to enter a bill into this legislative session to ban abortion in defense of the most vulnerable and defenseless among us, the unborn. He has fought for religious rights and moral conscience. He's been a defender of land and property rights, including fighting and successfully intervening to help a family keep their farm when the environmental Gestapo, also known as Department of Ecology, to keep their land and to repel their efforts to take land from a family in Stevens County who are not even in his district. He saw something that was wrong, and he interceded. And he's often, and I've heard this from my own listening audience, there's a lot of bleed over, if you will, a lot of cross-pollination in our listening audiences. And I can't tell you how many listeners I've had from other states say, Matt Shea's my legislator. And these people don't even live in Washington State. But they're looking, they're saying, that's what I want in a legislator. He's fighting for these things, and I benefit from it. Because he's leading the way. He's demonstrating leadership. And other people from outside the area are saying, that's my legislator. He has traveled to other states to stand for the rule of law when the federal government was overreaching and acting unlawfully. Going to another state. It's so easy to kick back and say, well, it doesn't really affect me. But in 2015, he went to Idaho and joined the sheriff of Bonner County and Representative Heather Scott from Idaho, several pastors, leaders in the Patriot, conservative Christian community, who went there to intercede on behalf of an elderly veteran to prevent the Department of Veteran Affairs from disarming this veteran because of a rule that was being implemented under the previous administration, under the president who will not be named, trying to disarm a veteran. And Representative Matt Shea said, not on my watch. He also formed a team of legislators and respected leaders to travel to Oregon to meet with the police and the FBI to try to negotiate a peaceful resolution to the occupation of Malheur Wildlife Refuge so it wouldn't turn into another Waco. He's regularly advocated for veterans, including personally counseling veterans who were struggling with different issues. He's given of his own time and money to bring awareness to persecuted Christians in other parts of the world. And he and his wife continue traveling to other countries on missions trips to support the work of advancing the gospel and the kingdom of God and advocating for persecuted Christians. He's the staunchest advocate for our Second Amendment rights and our right to self-defense, as it was intended by the founding fathers, than any other legislator. He leads the pack in all these areas. All the other rights, the Constitution in general, and not just the U.S. Constitution, but the Washington State Constitution, which he knows intimately. And how many of us can say that about our elected legislators? How well they actually know our own state constitutions? They don't. They're illiterate. He supported and continued to fight for free market capitalism, traditional American ideals and principles, our heritage, the rule of law, parental rights, individual rights, on and on. He's also the co-founder and the director of the Washington Family Foundation, advocating for parental rights, family values, and family structure. He's the co-founder of Spokane Chapter of ACT for America, a watchdog group that tracks the intentions, the groups and the players and their intentions within the Islamic Jihad movement and the dangers that that brings to us in America and the West in general. He was, and I don't know, he maybe still be on the board of Protecting Marriage Washington. He is a very strong, known leader in the Liberty State movement, helping to advance and lead the effort in his own way as a legislator, entering bills to divide Washington State to create Liberty State, which is, according to the law and the Constitution, perfectly within our right to do. But see, he's being accused of division. And it's not the advocates of Liberty State that are causing the division. Others have divided us. We are already divided. Well, let's just formalize it so we can rule ourselves, not be ruled by Seattle. Fair enough. And he's leading that effort. He surrounds himself with prayer teams and prayer warriors and real warriors. And this is critically important right now in the time, the day and age that we're in. This is a very important broadcast of Patriot Radio. I hope you share this with your friends. And when you see certain things, these hit pieces coming against Representative Matt Shea, I want you to be able to link them to this episode, advocating an advocacy for a warrior and a leader and a fellow Christian who's fighting for us regularly, who takes it on the chin all the time. This is really especially important because he has, all of us have, but especially Matt has been at the tip of the spear, taking so many hits, the hit pieces, the slander, the leftist influenced articles and so-called exposés and things like this that have served no other purpose than to try to harm him and you and me and the fight to preserve liberty. You have all seen the series of hit pieces that have come against Matt. There's, you know, there's a saying, there's actually several sayings, but, you know, if you're not taking flack, you're not over the target, right? So he's taken a lot of flack, which means he's hitting his mark, which means he is a threat to the agenda that the globalists, that the socialists, that the communists, that the jihadists, the godless are trying to advance. They continue to work to try to undermine Americanism and our heritage and our values. They want to fundamentally transform America. That didn't go away when the previous president, who will not be named, left office. Their agenda continues to grind forward. And if you are a true threat to them, it's going to be known because that is who they are going to be attacking. So let me take you to Psalm 54. I like reading the New King James Version. So that's what I'm, that's my primary Bible study Bible. So that's what I'm going to read from. And this is an answered prayer for deliverance from adversaries. And it's, and I'll just go down through this, 54, 1-7. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them, Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good, for he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Now, why do we need deliverance from our adversaries? Because the adversaries are plentiful and they are on the attack. And so we need to pray for the Lord to intercede for us on our behalf. And this is a great psalm. This is very applicable. So once again, Representative Matt Shea said, man, I'm behind. I don't know if I can pre-record the show or not. It's got sessions going late. And I'm like, you know what? Because of this time that we're in, what's happening right now, let me take your show. In fact, he surrounds himself with prayer warriors and he has a prayer team. These people are spirit-filled prayer warriors. And one of them came in and said, the Lord spoke to me this morning and said, come, go to see Matt. She didn't know what was going on, but the Lord gave her a word. And one of the things that she said the Lord gave her the word is that someone needs to advocate for you. You do not need to defend yourself, but this problem needs to be confronted. But she felt that the Lord was telling her it's not Matt that needs to confront it. And I was sitting right there. I was at the Capitol yesterday, took a little road trip. So I said, me. I want to advocate for Matt. Matt, will you let me? And then that's when Matt said, you know, I just feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me. I feel like the Lord's telling me, and he's just been staying in prayer constantly. I feel like I'm being told, points to me and says that you need to take whatever show you're going to do on Radio Free Redoubt on Saturday. You need to take this and take Patriot Radio on Thursday, tomorrow. So here I am. But what happened is, let me take you guys back to last fall. Do you remember last fall with this so-called leaked document last fall, released just prior to the election? And in the document, it made reference to taking over a city. And if you give them a chance to surrender, and if they don't, you're going to kill all the males. And, you take it over. And this document was actually from Deuteronomy. I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 20. This was from a meeting of several warriors, prayer warriors, Christian men, and leaders in our Christian patriot community, were sitting there in a meeting discussing several issues. But one of the issues that came up was about warfare. Should Christians, be in war? When is it justified? Because what I vaguely remember, but what I do remember is that the discussion was really the increasing threats against Christians and conservatives. And the discussions were starting to circulate about the possibility of a civil war in the United States. So that was that was brought up. Matt, being a leader and a former officer in the military and a combat veteran, has dedicated himself to studying warfare. Now, he's also a Christian. So he studied warfare from a Christian perspective to make sure that you are absolutely justified if you're ever forced to go to war including a civil war. So this question has to be answered. And if somebody's courageous, let me back up. I am thankful that we have leadership that are courageous enough to address this and not shy away from this. Well, we don't wrestle in flesh and blood. Our war is spiritual warfare. Yes, it is. It is spiritual warfare. But it also manifests itself sometimes in the physical realm. I mean, the founding fathers of this country, George Washington, which I'm going to talk about here in just a little bit, understood this. The Christian men who fought British soldiers so that we could have this country, they understood this. So sometimes it's necessary. So one of these, this one document, which was actually, it was part of a discussion about just war theory. In other words, is it just, is it justified to go to war? And there's a whole doctrine on it. You can do an internet search and it's out there. It's called just war theory. It answers the questions about when Christians should or should not go to war and the parameters that you must meet to be able to justify that. Well, this Deuteronomy, go and kill everybody from the in the village if they refuse to kill all the males. That was actually a scripture. That was so, but the local news station called it Matt's manifesto that was leaked by an insider on this secret circle roundtable meeting. But see, that was untrue. That was a manifesto. In fact, the word manifesto was applied by Q6 News on their own initiative. So we have to come to terms with the fact that there are communist revolutionaries and arguably communist revolutionaries. I'm talking there's documentation that proves these are the same communist type of revolutionaries flying the same flags, using the same symbols, symbology, and using the same terminology who advance kingdom, who advance communism, such as in the Soviet Union. They have openly called for threats of violence against conservatives or anybody who stands against them, or even if you just voted for President Trump, that people's heads need to start getting bashed in. And that's what's leading to the discussion, could we be headed toward a civil war? And these are godly Christian men having a discussion that is very timely and, I think, important. Now, Matt Shea surrounds himself with prayer warriors, and he is engaged in spiritual warfare on a day-to-day basis. But he's also been in physical wars, and he understands the reality of that. And he's looking at the signs and the indicators on the wall, and as a leader says, we need to have a discussion, men that he trusts, other warriors, former law enforcement, former military, or pastors, or others that he relies on. He surrounds himself with a multitude of counselors, always. I've always seen him surrounding himself with a multitude of counselors, which is what Proverbs says you should do. So we don't want to think about war and killing and, oh, you don't talk about that. You don't talk about violence. That's just, were you actually talking about violence? Well, when we're talking about war, war's violence. So yeah, if we were forced to it, to do it. No, I just love David. I love King David. He's such one of my favorite Bible characters. But modern Christians talking about violence and warfare is just taboo. You don't do that. No, we're involved in spiritual warfare. It's not a flesh and blood. That's a cop-out. In my opinion, that is a cowardly excuse. The other thing that Matt Shea's often said is one of the fastest ways to lose a fight is to not realize you're in one. These people are calling for violence against Christians, against conservatives. That's not something to ignore. That doesn't mean you go out and you just tackle them and start, punching their lights out. It means you better be aware and take them seriously, which also could require some discussions. And you better hope your leadership had been discussing this leading up to the time when you're forced to fight to preserve Americanism and your heritage or your very families or your communities, that they didn't wait to have the discussion about what we should do after you're getting pummeled. a good leader will take the initiative and start having that discussion before it's necessary. We do that with our military. We assess the threats. We look at what could harm us. How do we counter against it? How do we train against it? What are some of the things that we are going to need to overcome the enemy's efforts when if the time comes that they actually make good on their threats and start stomping us on the in the face? This King David, I love King David. He wasn't perfect, but he was a warrior. He was a leader, and he was a man after God's own heart. And that's the type of leadership we need to rally around. And we want the type of leadership to rally around to also surround himself with not only just prayer warriors and multitudes of counselors, but also mighty men, other warriors willing to carry out violence and capable of carrying out violence if it comes to that. Let me go down the list of David, the King David that we all love, and talk about some of the men he surrounded himself with. Josheb, Bashabeth, the Tekemonite, was chief of the three. The chief of the three. There was like three top really bad dudes. He wielded his spear against 800 men whom he killed at one time. That sounds pretty violent. Next in command was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahonite. As one of the three mighty men, he went with David to taunt the Philistines who had gathered for battle at Pas Damim. The men of Israel retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck the Philistines until his hand grew weary and stuck to his sword. You ever been like shoveling or operating some type of implement with a handle and you've been doing it so long, your grip's so tight, you like almost can't even peel your fingers off of it? That's how long he was swinging his sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. Then the troops returned to him, but only to plunder the dead. So everybody else that ran off and hid, while Eleazar was taking care of business and slaying the enemy, the rest of the army comes running back just to plunder the dead. Great. Thanks, brave army. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines had banded together near a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shema took his stand in the middle of the field, defended it, and struck down the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. This goes on and on. I want to read a couple more to you. So the three mighty men broke through the Philistine camp, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and brought it back to David, but he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out to the Lord, saying, "Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this. Is this not the blood of men who risked their lives?" So he refused to drink it, because these men risked their lives just to get him a drink of water. Abishai, the brother of Joab and the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the three. The chief of the three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, 300 men this time, killed them, and won a name along with the three. Was he not more honored than the three? And he became their commander, even though he was not included among the three. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, thank you, was a valiant warrior from Kabzeel, a man of many exploits. He struck down two champions of Moab, and on a snowy day, he went down into a pit, killed a lion. He also killed an Egyptian, a huge man. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club, snatched the spear from his hand, and killed the Egyptian with his own spear. These were the exploits of Benaiah. Now, these were the members of the 30, and there's 37 of them in all. Now, if it comes time for war and that's forced upon you, do you not want a leader who's going to surround himself with warriors? I do. I want a man after God's own heart who's not afraid to discuss these kinds of possibilities. Now, this is not what Matt Shea dwells on. But he has given it thought, and he has sought counsel, and he's done his own research, and he surrounds himself with warriors. So, let me lead into something different. Talked about last fall's hit piece, about this leaked document. Well, 2 days ago, I was contacted by a journalist from The Guardian, UK. The journalist's name is Jason Wilson. He lives in Portland, Oregon. He has a long track record of writing hit pieces attacking conservatives, which I don't call him a journalist. I call him a propagandist. But I did speak to him. Pretty much, I wanted to set some things straight. Of course, he's going to take my words out of context and everything else. But he also sent an invitation for Representative Matt Shea, I later found. He sent an email. Wanted to talk about this private signal message involving four people. Now, I'm going to come back to that. I'm just going to kind of let that hang because I want to come back and talk about this discussion with this propagandist from the Guardian. So I want to talk about a true Revolutionary War hero and a patriot and a traitor. His name is Benedict Arnold. Now everybody thinks of Benedict Arnold as the traitor, right? He was actually a patriot. He started off as a patriot, a fierce patriot. He did many great things that contributed to the efforts of the American colonies in the fight against the British. So I want to read something to you from the Smithsonian Magazine, just to introduce you to Benedict Arnold. Maybe some things you didn't know. From the first, he distinguished himself as one of New Haven's more vocal and combative patriots. He's the one saying, let's go kick some butt. Let's go get them, right? On hearing of the Boston Massacre, he thundered, good God, are all the Americans all asleep and tamely giving their glorious liberties? When in April 1775 he learned of the skirmishes at Lexington and Concord, he seized a portion of New Haven's gunpowder supply and marched north with a company of volunteers. In Cambridge, Massachusetts, he convinced Dr. Joseph Warren and the Massachusetts Committee of Safety to authorize an expedition to capture Fort Ticonderoga in New York State and its 80 or more cannons. As it turned out, others had the same idea, and Arnold was forced to form an uneasy alliance with Ethan Allen and his Green Mountain Boys before the two leaders strode side by side into Ticonderoga. While Allen and his men turned their attention to consuming the British liquor supply, Arnold sailed and rode to St. John at the opposite end of Lake Champlain, where he and a small group of men captured several British military vessels and instantly gave America command of the lake. The American Revolution, as it actually unfolded, was so troubling and strange that once the struggle was over, a generation did its best to remove all traces of the truth. Although it later became convenient to portray Arnold as a conniving Satan from the start, the truth is more complex and ultimately more disturbing. Without the discovery of his treason in the fall of 1780, the American people might never have been forced to realize that the real threat to their liberties came not from without, but from within. Now, he ended up selling out the United States. He betrayed his friend, General George Washington. By the end of 1779, Arnold had begun secret negotiations with the British to surrender the American fort at West Point, New York, in return for money and a command in the British Army. Arnold's chief intermediary was British Major John André, who was captured in 1780 while crossing between British and American lines, disguised in civilian clothes. Papers found on him incriminated Arnold in treason. Learning of André's capture, Arnold fled to British lines before patriots could arrest him. West Point remained in American hands, and Arnold only received a portion of his promised bounty. André was hanged as a spy in October of 1780. Now, following his death at 60 years old, Arnold's memory lived on in the land of his birth, where his name became synonymous with the word traitor. So, I got a call from a Jason Wilson from The Guardian of the UK this week. He called and asked about a signal conversation leading up to the November 4th, 2017, which was the day of rage that Antifa and the other communist revolutionary groups were saying they're going to burn the streets. They're going to take to the streets and burn things down and break stuff. So there was also a chapter in Spokane who on social media said, we're sign us up. We're going to do it too. So in response to this, one individual, a patriot, started a chat group with four individuals, myself and Matt and one other individual. And so there were four of us. And we were discussing, what if this comes to our communities? Should we begin planning? Should we begin start tracking these people who are saying, hey, I belong to this group, and who this group who says we are going to burn the American streets to the ground and take to the streets, burn things down and break stuff. Well, I think it'd be pretty prudent to start tracking these people who are making these types of claims, especially when they say they're going to do it in our own backyard. So I don't recall the specific conversation that this journalist was asking about, but I would say this. Signal, if it was on Signal, it was a private chat where everybody participating, all four of us, had a reasonable expectation of privacy. And this was a private conversation where people could speak openly and freely. So some of the discussion, you know, among some of the people were some of us in the group were, you know, smashing communists, smash their heads, run them up a flagpole, you know, this kind of stuff, tongue in cheek type of things. And that's what's got this journalist all spun up. So he's getting ready to write a hit piece. But I have the copies of this that I was able to recover from another patriot who was involved in this conversation. So we can find out who said what. He's talking about calling for violence, doing surveillance, because this journalist said, calls for violence? Do you think that you should carry out violence against somebody who thinks differently than you? Well, no, of course not. And we're not talking about carrying violence out against somebody who's has a different view than us. In fact, what's interesting is how they're trying to paint the patriots. Even patriots that are saying, man, I'm going to buy another case of ammo. We need to lock and load. I'm going to smash some communist heads in, right? But they never do. What's interesting is they're so concerned about the rhetoric that happens between patriots. But they don't look at the Antifa and Indivisible and these other communist revolutionaries who actually not only spew rhetoric about carrying out violence, they actually carry out violence. So I'm looking at one hand, I'm looking at the patriots, and at the other hand, and one saying, man, we're not going to take any guff from them. We're going to fight, and we're going to duke it out, and we're going to, you know, knock their teeth out. But then they never do. They actually never really carry out violence. But then the leftist group, they're saying it and doing it. Somebody with a Trump hat, they run them down, rip the hat off, and start kicking them in the head and on the face and everything else. So I looked at this conversation that this, no doubt, I suspect a hit piece is coming and they're going to be targeting Representative Matt Shea. But I have this conversation and Matt Shea weighed in like four times, and he didn't contribute to this conversation at all, talking about violence at all. That was just some chit chat going between a couple of us. And he had nothing to do with it. He didn't ask to be in this group. He was just added to it. And he didn't contribute to the conversation. But there's one individual here. Now, the journalist also asked me, do you conduct surveillance on political opponents? I'm like, no, I never have, actually. And that's true. But there was talk about doing surveillance on some of these Antifa people, not surveillance, but just start copying and pasting their comments and keeping track and find out who's who, find out where they live, find out where they work, this type of thing for future reference. And that never came to fruition. That was never put together. I never saw anything put together with people's names and places and locations and things like that. But it's wise. See, because it is in response to what we were seeing on the social media sites of the leftists, the revolutionaries, the violent people. So now they've got this hashtag punch a Nazi, which, of course, you know what a Nazi is, right? Anybody that's not supportive of Antifa. If you voted for Trump, you're a Nazi. If you believe in marriage between only a man and a woman, you're a Nazi. If you want to protect the life of the unborn, you're a Nazi. So this is what we're seeing. So punch a Nazi basically is anybody who maybe voted for Trump or is conservative. So what they started doing is taking photographs. And I was looking at a photograph that was posted by somebody from Antifa or Indivisible, one of them. A lot of them are belonging to both groups. So there is a picture posted with a 3%er sticker. The 3%er are the patriots that, you know, they say, you know, 3% of the population actually took up arms to fight the British. You know, there was just a small minority. So they say, I'm a 3%er. I'm one of those patriots that's willing to take a stand when the time comes. So they put these 3%er stickers on, generally politically conservative, socially conservative. So these this punch a Nazi, hashtag punch a Nazi effort among the Antifa groups decided, let's start taking pictures of cars and posting their license plates on our social media. So when you see these, to imply that when you see these people in town, you can harm them or threaten them or what have you, to quickly spread the word that you just located a car with some type of conservative sticker, and here's the description of the car, and here's the license plate. And that's what we were seeing. We're like, we need to actually start tracking these people so we know who they are. And other discussions started coming up about, well, maybe we should do the same thing to them. Matt Shea wasn't involved in that. But the discussion was, well, maybe we should go post something on their door, a little flag, a little skull and crossbones thing, and start letting them know that we can do the same thing. You know, strike some fear into them. Now, nothing ever came of that. It never materialized. Nobody ever actually printed out stickers of skull and crossbones or whatever to go to put on somebody's workplace or their home or anything like that. Never happened. We see the left doing that kind of stuff, though. So, but here's the interesting thing. Because this journalist is not the point. He's just doing what he does. He's going to operate with whatever material he has who's given to him. Now, Q6 News, are they evil? No. They're just running with something that they think would make a story by something that was given to them. So it's not, you got to look beyond the Guardian journalist. You have to look beyond Q6 News and the Spokesman Review. Where did they get this information from? Well, this is the time when we have to do something that's very uncomfortable, and we have to call somebody out because they're doing more to undermine and damage a good, God-fearing patriot and a rare, rare leader who is in the fight for you and me. You remember the story about Benedict Arnold? It crushed George Washington when his friend betrayed him and went to the other side. Now, they still won the war, but it was a painful betrayal. And that type of betrayal has happened right here. Now, the first time things were let go, Matt Shea did the right thing, forgave this individual, and he blessed him and said, Lord, I forgive him. I let him go. You know, to do, matter of fact, I've got a scripture I'm going to get to here in just a little bit. This so-called manifesto, which was part of a whole bunch of stuff about preparedness and just war theory and just a whole bunch of, they handpicked this sermon notes from Deuteronomy that happened to be on this thumb drive and called it Matt's manifesto. And in return, Matt Shea and his family have received numerous death threats. I've seen many of the emails. I've heard some of the phone calls. I've got recordings of it I could play for you. The things that they are saying they're going to do to him and his wife and his parents and his friends and anybody associated with them because of this leaked document falsely labeled as a manifesto just before the elections intentionally to hurt Matt Shea. And you know why I know the proper context of that document? Because I was one of those warriors sitting in that meeting of advisors and counselors and other warriors discussing some heavy, weighty issues that affect all of us as Christians as we are concerned about the times that we're living in and some of the rhetoric that we're seeing. I was sitting right there and I had a copy of it. So it was extremely misleading. Now, the Signal conversation, only four people in the world had it on their phones. It's encrypted. It's locked down. Now, I know Representative Matt Shea did not send this chat conversation about the Antifa and responding to Antifa, where a couple people on there started talking about, you know, smashing communists. Matt didn't participate in that at all. He's in favor of keeping track of information of who's who, who's calling for violence on the left. But that was it. He weighed very little into that conversation. Where did he get it from? It was only one of four people. Well, it didn't come from me, and it didn't come from this other patron. I'm going to withhold his name for right now, but The Guardian will probably put it out just out of spite. Then we'll deal with it then. And the other one was a patriot that was a patriot and a friend to many of us. And he betrayed all of us, but specifically Representative Matt Shea. And the name of this individual claims to be a Christian who used to be a patriot. His name is Jay Pounder. Jay Pounder lives in this community. He's a former bank assistant manager who now is an outside salesman of sorts for Moody Bible. This individual has entered into a joint venture with a self-avowed, outwardly spoken, anti-Christian pagan. He's involved with the Valhalla Nordic god stuff, who also used to be a Christian. Jay Pounder has done more to cause division, disunity, sow discord, and essentially to destroy a good, God-fearing Christian man, a warrior in the faith, a patriot warrior, a true leader who's demonstrated leadership in and out of the military, continues to serve and is serving right now and is surrounded by prayer warriors and godly people. While the lies keep spinning, and there's another one coming because they tried to reach out, The Guardian tried to reach out to Representative Matt Shea and to me. So it's important that we deal with this. But see, the reason why I'm calling this out is because Jay Pounder, who many of you knew as Fox 519, who actually did a segment for Radio Free Redoubt called Eye on the Economy, he volunteered to do that, and he was a good friend and a trusted friend by many of us. I don't know what his motives are, but see, he's not directly giving this stuff to these people. He's using a surrogate. He's hiding in the background, leaking these documents. And this is provable. And I've got lawyers standing by. So if you want to try to go lawsuit, we can play that game. But Tanner Rowe is the one who has a Facebook following in Spokane. He has been railing against Matt Shea. Now, this is hard for me, too, because I love Tanner Rowe. He's a pagan, but he used to be a Christian. He walked away from the faith, and I've just always felt a connection to him. I've met him one time. I pray for him. He's like, we have so many things in common. I mean, everything is in common except our faith, and then now what he's doing. He's like a little brother to me. That's what I feel like with this guy, Tanner Rowe. I really do. I love him. But he's also being used as a surrogate by Jay Pounder, who works for and hopefully worked past tense for Moody Bible to destroy a good Christian friend and a leader in our community. So I don't know where. There's only one source where that Signal conversation could have come from, and that is Jay Pounder. Jay Pounder also admitted to releasing that document on that Old Testament study on biblical warfare, Deuteronomy 10 or Deuteronomy 20. He admitted to another patriot at a Liberty State gathering, which he actually had the gall to show up for, and said, I really felt bad, but I just felt like somebody had to say something. Now, what's interesting is this individual, Jay Pounder, has always been concerning to many of us because he has been the one who is the first one to call for violence. He's the first one to say that we need to, I'm not even going to get into it because this, I don't want to get into, I'm telling you, it's been a problem. The person who has been the most aggressively and outspoken about things that he thinks we should do to the enemy, he's a hypocrite because he's leading people to believe falsely that Matt Shea has been on the front edge of that. I'm going to read to you from Psalms. He hath put forth his hands against such as to be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant, that trust that was placed in him. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. So there's a friend, someone who great trust was placed in, who's gone out and actually war was in his heart, not friendship. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 14. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles for Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. That's from 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 14. There are six things that the Lord hates. This is from Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. And that's what Jay Pounder is guilty of. And despite all of this, Matt quoted and asked for people to surround him with prayer. And he quoted Luke 16, 28, which says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. And now here's this other so-called leaked conversation intended to hurt Matt Shea. And it's coming from one person, and it's got to stop. It has to stop. Has to stop right now, yesterday. And in fact, I'm going to close with this scripture and pull it up. Matter of fact, this came from one of the prayer warriors on Matt's team. Oh, actually, I got an extra minute that I didn't know I had. Nice. So, Romans 16 says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not deserve our Lord Christ, but in their own appetites and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. So this was the word that was given to the prayer warrior team to Matt, and he forwarded it on to a group of counselors, Christian men. And this is what she said. The Lord pressed this onto my heart. The woman who the Holy Spirit told to go in to Matt's office, and she didn't know why. She didn't know something was going on, what was going on. Matt, hear the word of the Lord to you. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, or an idolater, or a slanderer, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business of mine to judge those outside the church? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. 1 Corinthians 5, 11 through 13. We all need to expel him from our midst and cut off all communications with him. I'm sorry to have to say this, but it was time, it's past time that this was dealt with. Now, we're out of time, but I just want to ask you guys if you could take the time to lift Matt up in prayer and all of the people that maybe you're not even aware of behind the scenes, your pastor, and all of those that are in the fight for liberty, for our heritage, God-fearing people that are in the fight. Just remember to lift them up in your prayer and encourage them and edify them. Sound good? And may this generation be the greatest generation. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too.